Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, if you want to grab your Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, friends, I'm going to introduce to you a new guest that we have in the house today. His name is Joseph. Welcome up, Joseph.
Well, thank you, Christopher. My name is Joseph. Shalom. Well, that's a Hebrew way of saying hello. We Jews would say shalom means peace of God be with you. It means hello, how are you? What's up? What's happening? All of that. There are two things that you need to know about me. Well, you already know the first thing about me, which is I am Mary's husband. That you knew. But the second thing you must know about me, which you may not have known in the past, is the fact that I am, in the Hebrew word, a tzaddik. Would you repeat after me? Tzaddik. Tzaddik. It's a Hebrew word that's really hard to translate into English. Now, the passage that Christopher read, it says, Joseph, moi, was faithful to the law. That explanation, that description is, in a nutshell, what it means to be a tzaddik. In the old translation, you may be familiar with the word righteous. Joseph was a righteous man, and therefore he did not want to publicly expose Mary to the disgrace. Remember that? Now, that's not a good translation. The one that you have today is the better one, which is, Joseph, moi, I am very, very faithful to the law, which is another way of saying God's law, the old Bible, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament is known as the law. So as a tzaddik, more than anything else, I was faithful to keeping the law of God as revealed in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament. And I remember the day when Mary and I became pledged in a marriage. See, our families were very close. Growing up, I knew of her, she knew of me, and then even though I was a few years older than Mary, I began noticing some of her qualities, like, you know, she turned out to be a really beautiful woman. By the way, I may be biased, but the most beautiful woman in the world, they all come from Israel, except Pastor Une. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Mary was beautiful, and she also had a really good sense of humor. She laughed at all my jokes. Ladies, if you want to impress a guy, this is what you do. You laugh at his jokes. Even though they may not be funny, if you laugh at his jokes, he will adore you. Guys, ain't that right? You don't have to say amen to that, you fools. And I remember that day when when my family and I came to Mary's home, and our fathers talked, "Hey, Yaakov. Hey, Abe. What do you say we plan the marriage of Joseph and Mary?" And that progressed. We had another conversation. And when we became of age, the day came. It was a small ceremony because it was what you may call an engagement. But in my culture, when you are placed to be married, that was legally binding. We were just as good as being a husband and a wife. It was a small ceremony. My family, my parents, Mary and her family, and the rabbi read the scripture, and I took the cup, and I said to Mary, "Mary, I betroth myself to thee and to none other. Only you will I love. Only you will I give my pledge and fidelity." I took the cup. Mary received the cup from me, and she said, "Joseph, I betroth myself to thee and to none other. I give you my love, my loyalty, my faithfulness, and my fidelity to you and to none other." She took the cup. We were pledged. We were married, except one thing. We weren't consummated sexually. That's for the wedding night, you see. But in terms of the legal binding, we were just as committed and just as faithful to each other as a husband and a wife. The happiest day of my life. And I said to Mary, "Mary, I'm going to go back to my father's house now, and I'm going to work hard." My occupation was carpentry. So I said, "Mary, I'm going to work really hard because I want to prepare a room for you and me. And when the room is ready, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me." I said goodbye to her, and I began working. I took on jobs. I gave up playing video games. I stopped hanging out with the guys because I had to earn the money to build the room for Mary. And I worked really hard, really hard. Days passed, weeks passed, months passed, and all that I kept thinking about was, "Oh, Mary, I can't wait till I bring you home. Oh, Mary, I'm working really hard so that we may be consummated. Oh, Mary, I have a dream. The dream is for you and me to live each other together and love each other and grow old and have children and build a home family together." It was a humble dream. And yet, it was a dream of mine. And then the day came, the worst day of my life. Mary called for me. She brought me to her home. And I remember that day, her parents were in the room with us. And for some reason, they wouldn't look at me. They had their faces down. And they wouldn't make the eye contact with me. And I was wondering, what's going on? And Mary finally said, "Joseph, I have something to tell you. And you have to believe me. Because I'm telling you the truth. You know how I gave you my faithfulness and commitment and loyalty to you?" "Uh-huh. Yeah, of course, Mary, the happiest day of my life. Yeah, I remember. "Joseph, listen. I have been faithful to you. I have been true to you. And I have loved none other than just you. But listen, I'm pregnant. But it's not with another man. An angel of God appeared before me and said, 'Mary, you will have a child by the power of the Holy Spirit.' And what he said came to pass. I am pregnant." Friends, the worst day of my life, the worst day of my life, the absolute, absolute nightmare, hellish day of my life. I said, "Mary, how can you do this to me? How can you betray me? How can you be with another man after what you said to me, after what you heard from me, that I love you and none other, right? And you gave me back your love and commitment, and how can you do this to me? And she was insistent, but Joseph, I'm telling you the truth. This pregnancy, this child who is in my womb does not belong to another man. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, stop, stop, stop. Stop. I left. I just couldn't talk to her anymore. And I came home, and the more I thought about it, the angrier I got. More upset I became. Actually, there were three emotions that ran through my soul. First, I felt betrayed. Have you been there? Have you been there? You gave your friendship to your buddy, to your girlfriend, and they stab you in the back. You felt betrayed. You've been there? Maybe it was your colleague, and you worked together, and it was your idea, it was your project, and you should have gotten the promotion. Instead, they stole it from you. You felt betrayed. And it gets worse when that person who betrayed you is someone who's very close to you, like your spouse, like your parent, like your child. The second emotion, absolute anger. I wanted to get even with her. I wanted to punish her. I wanted to feel the pain that she caused me to feel. You know what I'm talking about? When you get hurt, you want to get even. But the worst feeling was what happened after all that. I felt so ashamed. Hey, what's the Hebrew word I taught you this morning? I am what? I'm a tzaddik. That meant I keep the law of God with my life. I memorize the law of God in my heart. I wear it on my forehead. I put it on my doorpost. I eat God's word every day. And everyone knows that which is the most important thing in my life is my adherence to the word of God. And my honor, my character, my name, my reputation, all of it is bound by my tzaddikness. And from now on, if people find out, what will they call me? That sense of shame just overshadowed me. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And it got worse. As time passed, Mary began to show. And people began to gossip. I heard rumors. I heard conversations, people saying, hey, is Mary getting fat, or is that, you know, couldn't be Joseph's, because he's a tzaddik, he'll never do that. Then, oh my goodness. And the more people gossiped, the harder it became for me, because I got to decide. Now, I felt like I was stuck. No matter what I did, it was going to ruin my life. If I take her in as my wife, and everyone knows that this child is not mine, that from that moment on, I would be known as not a tzaddik, but the fool who married a whore. I couldn't do that. My honor, my reputation, my character, my tzaddikness, that's more precious than anything else. Don't you know it? In the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says in his law, if a man sleeps with the woman who was pledged to be married to someone else, then you ought to take both the man and the woman who was pledged to be married to someone else, to take them outside of the gate of the town and stone them to death, because you must purge the evil from among you. That's what God says. It was an adultery. It was a betrayal. And it was an affront against the will of God. And God said in his book, take both the man and the woman and stone them to death. Purge the evil from among you. Friends, I'll be lying to you if that wish of carrying that out did not cross my mind. Because when I felt the anger and the betrayal, I wanted to get even. But I still loved Mary, and I just couldn't do that. According to our tradition, the one who has been offended, in this case, myself, I'll be the first one to cast the stone. That is like the trial and the execution. But if I don't cast the stone, nobody can either. But instead, what I wanted to do was quietly divorce Mary, remove myself from her and everything else. That's what I was going to do. I resolved myself, that's what I'm going to do. Then that night, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw an angel of the Lord. And the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. For what is conceived in her was done so by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will give him the name Jesus, because he is the Messiah. And he will be called Emmanuel, because God is with us." Now, friends, have you had dreams? And you go, "What a strange dream." That's how I felt. Maybe I thought, maybe it was the falafel I had last night. But something captured my imagination. It wasn't the dream. It wasn't the fact that I saw an angel in my dream, but it was what I heard from the mouth of the angel. Because the angel began quoting, referencing the scripture, God's law, with which I was very familiar. And I realized, oh my gosh, it wasn't just a dream. Oh my gosh, it wasn't just an angel of my imagination. It was actually God speaking to me. I know that to be true because he spoke the words from the Bible. You will call him Jesus because he is the Messiah and he is Emmanuel, God with us. I knew the scripture. You see, Jesus, which means God will save his people from their sins. That's Psalm 130. He will be Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is king over all the nations. That's Isaiah chapter 9. The virgin will be with a child. And unto us a child will be born, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us, and he will rule with an iron scepter. His kingdom will never end. He will be in control. I knew all that to be true. So friends, I did that which was impossible, to take Mary home as my wife, because that's what God told me to do, a mission impossible, and I knew that I would have to pay a price for obeying and trusting God. Have you been there? Has God given you a mission that is impossible? And you knew if you trusted God, if you obeyed God, and you would have to pay a tremendous price. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? God tells you, "Son, daughter, do this. Trust me, obey me." And if you do trust and obey God, you will have to pay an amazing price, because your life will forever be altered and perhaps ruined. Has God said to you, "Forgive that person"? And you go, "God, that's a mission impossible. After what they had done to me, against me, the fact that they hurt me, betrayed me, now you want me to forgive them? That is a mission impossible, because if I forgive them, I have to pay the cost of forgiving that person. That's too much. I can't do that." Has God said to you, "Hey, you are in a financial mess. Trust me. Honor me with your money, and I will set you free from your debts"? Because for now, up to now, the way you have managed your money was this: live, save, and give. Live. Spend money on yourself. Buy food, groceries, pay the bills. You live first. And then you save. You save for tomorrow. You save for the future. You save for the retirement. You save a little bit. And then at the end, whatever is left, you give to God, you give to the charity, you give your money. But friends, let's be honest. You are in a financial mess. You are riddled with debt because when you live first and when you save second, when you give last, there's nothing left. And God says to you, I want you to flip that over. Honor me by giving first your offerings and your tithe. Trust me with your money. And then you save, and then you, what's left, you live off of that. And you say, that's impossible. I can't do that, God, because if I trust and obey you, my life will be forever altered. Is God saying to you, trust me and obey me? And you feel like your life is stuck. Your work is going nowhere. It's a dead-end job. Your gifts and your passion don't match with what you are doing. It's just an occupation. You're just paying the bills, and you feel so unfulfilled. Maybe you're living, moved back into your parents' basement, and you thought to yourself, this is not how my life is supposed to turn out. I did not sign up for this. And God is saying, trust me, obey me. And you say, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could. And you feel this torn. You feel torn. Has God given you a mission impossible? And if you obeyed and trusted him, it's going to cost you tremendously. Friends, here's how I was able to trust God and obey him. When you face a mission impossible, remember three names. Remember three names. Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel. When God sends you on an impossible mission, remember three names. Jesus, Messiah, and Emmanuel. That's what I did. When I realized, hang on, this baby will be called Jesus, which means God will save us from our sins. In this Jesus baby, I will know that God loves me, not because I obey him, but because God is loving and kind towards me, and I can see that in this Jesus, because 33 years from now on, this Jesus will grow up into a man, and he will die on the cross for my sins and for your sins. Then I will know, and that's how I know that God loves you. God loves you, and you know that to be true because he has shown, proven that when this baby grows up, and he will die on the cross for your sins and my sins. I took that to heart. The word Messiah, which means anointed. This baby Jesus is the anointed one. He is going to be the king in the line of King David. And he will rule and reign forever. His kingdom will never end. He is in control. He is in control. When I feel like I'm not in control, when I feel like I don't know what's going to happen, God says, in the person, the baby of Jesus, Messiah, I am in control. Joseph. The third name, Jesus, Messiah. What's the third name? Emmanuel. God is with us through, because of this baby Jesus. This mission is hard, but if God is with you, if God is with me, then somehow he will provide the strength and the courage to endure and to overcome. That's what I did. So I took Mary home as my wife. I put my trust and obedience to test. And people stopped calling me a tzaddik from that day on. They began calling me the fool who married a whore. You know, I lost friends. All my friends are tzaddiks. We grew up together. And tzaddiks don't mingle with the fool who married a whore. I lost business. People began they stopped calling me for carpentry work because I was the fool who married a whore. And my relatives, they disowned me. You know, the emperor issued a decree that every man should return to his hometown and register. I am from Bethlehem, the city of King David. So I took Mary in her third trimester, and then we walked all the way there. And we knocked on the door of my relatives. Now, your Bible says there was no room at the inn. Bad translation. The Greek word is guest room. There was no guest room in people's homes. Guess where I went to in Bethlehem? That's my hood. That's my town. You don't go to a hotel. You go to your family. You go to your relatives. You go to your friends. And every door we had knocked, they opened the door, saw me. I said, oh, Joseph, the fool who married a whore. No room for you. That was so hard. And yet I remembered Jesus. Yeah, God loves me in the person of Jesus. Messiah, yep, God is in control in the person of Jesus. Yep, Emmanuel, God is with us. I can do this with God's help. That's what happened. Friends, let me turn this on you. Whatever the mission God is giving you, whatever God is saying, child, do this, what I'm telling you. Put your trust in me and obey me, and I'll lead and guide you. Just remember, when that is so hard to do, remember three names. What? Jesus. God forgives your sins because of Jesus. Because this baby, in 33 years later, and he will die taking your sins upon himself on the cross. And that's how you know God loves you in Jesus. Second name, Messiah. Jesus is in control. This king who rules forever, who is alive, who is seated at the right hand of God. He is in control, not you, not your problems, not your circumstances, not your poverty, not your loneliness, not your whatever. Jesus is in control. And third, Emmanuel. Every step of the way, God will be with you in the person of Jesus. Shall we pray? Friends, I want to give a moment for you to reflect upon what you have heard, what you have seen, or what you have felt. Ponder upon the words. When you face a mission impossible from God, remember three names: Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel. God loves you in Jesus. God is in control in the person of Jesus, and God will be with you every step of the way. In the person of Jesus. Friends, maybe you're here for the first time. Church is very new to you. Jesus is unfamiliar to you. God is just a foreign concept. And yet you are here. And it's because God has led you, brought you to this place so that you may come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Friends, would you respond to that? Would you be willing to say today, Lord Jesus, I need you. My life is a mess. I want you to be in control. I want to follow you. I want to your love, your sacrificial love. I want to trust that you die for my sins. If you're that person, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I receive you. I follow you, and I thank you. Maybe you are here because you find yourself coming back to Jesus after many years of absence, many years of not following him fully. He's calling you too. He's calling you. He loves you, friends. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Put your trust in him. Would you commit yourself? Would you recommit yourself to him today? Say so in your heart. Say so in your heart. And now, Lord Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel, we adore you. We lay our lives before you because you have laid your life for us. And now we have the power to follow you, worship you, and make a difference, make an impact in our world by leading more people to you. May this be the ultimate gift for us today and for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives. So, Lord, we surrender. On our bended knee, we surrender. We want to know you more. We want to know you more. We surrender.